Thank you, Brother Chris, and thank you, brethren, for being here. It is so nice to see everyone, and truly, when David said how beautiful it is for the brethren to be together, it's so nice to see everyone. And I know we've seen each other at different conventions, either Harvest or Grand Rapids, but I miss being back here with our brethren, that we learn, that we grow, that we study, and it is truly a blessing. As we know, it is a blessing to talk from God's word, and it is a responsibility as well. When we think of the holiness of our Heavenly Father, when we think of His pure truth, and as we study, as we talk, as we share, what a privilege it is and what a responsibility it is. Now, as we think about this question, who do you follow? I think each one of us would answer, if we are asked, who do you follow? We would say that we follow the Lord. And that's true, because even if we think we are here for a higher purpose, we're here to study, we're here to talk from God's word, we're here to meditate, to learn, this shows that we have a higher purpose. This shows that we have different goals, probably compared to those people that probably choose to do something else on a Sunday morning. And it's true. But to make this more personal, this question, and to bring this a little bit closer to our lives, this statement that we do follow the Lord, I would like today that we would look into some details regarding this and try to think a little bit more personal. What do we actually follow? Because we know that following the Lord is more or less a general term that involves certain understanding who the Lord is and what the Lord would do, or how would He do in certain things and certain ways. So I would like to look a little bit more into the details of this. Now, we know that even we use this word follow, and of course, we find it throughout the scriptures. And even if man was created in the Garden of Eden with a free will, there is something in us that the way how God created that we want to follow certain things. And of course, we want to follow His procedures. We want to follow His commandments. And I was thinking, of course, because since we are having some younger children, of course, that's where probably some of my experiences are. As children grow up, they try to follow certain things, like as parents, like what we teach them. And of course, we want them to follow whatever we tell them. And not only that, but to teach them, of course, as they grow up, to follow the examples, not necessarily to follow everything that we do, but to know why they have to do certain things. Of course, as children grow up and start going to school, now, there is a different trend, as you know, there is a different circumstances where they want to follow certain things that are their friends, maybe they do, or the group that they are with, they try to follow. And of course, if they have a good solid foundation, they would know the difference between what's right, what's wrong, to what degree they should follow certain things, and what is probably not as appropriate. And of course, that's the importance of faith and building that foundation of what's right and what's wrong. And I think as we think, this applies to adults as well, to us as well, as we grow and as we develop, as we give our lives to the Lord. This applies to us in the sense that we try to follow certain things that probably we learned or we've seen that they are right. And just to give an example, for example, I was thinking to when we invite somebody for a fellowship or something, we try to follow certain procedures that we've seen that they are beneficial. I was thinking when we went to Africa once with a few brethren and sisters, and we had a dinner somewhere. The dinner was, the brethren tried very hard and we really appreciated, but it was completely different arrangement the way how we would do it here. And of course, they tried to follow what they think that it's right or the way they are. the way how things should be. And of course, we do our best how the Holy Spirit or the spirit of a sound mind would tell us. And of course, that applies to probably different things in our society, at work or with neighbors or whatever we do. We try to follow whatever we think it's right. So I just want to emphasize this, that even if we say that we follow the Lord, we don't know exactly how the Lord would have done, but we just try to do our best based on the spirit of a sound mind. Now, as I mentioned, for those of you that have children or had children, we might not even notice, but as we explain children certain things to do, to a certain degree, we almost like give ourselves as examples. We want to follow them. We want them to follow certain things that we tell them. And that's because probably we went through certain experiences in life and we know what is what way certain things would lead. And of course, we want our children to take the best decisions and spare them from certain experiences. However, as we think about children and adults, there is a difference, and not only a difference in size, the way how we see it on the screen, but it's also, there are other differences as well. So that's why it's important to get down at their level and try to reason or have a horizontal conversation rather than a vertical conversation as well. And we know that that would be more effective. Now, you know that, I don't know about you, but I know we've used that many times, that when we talk with the children, we tell them that when I was young or when I was your age, I used to do this, or back in my day used to be that way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't in our case. And as I'm thinking, it's like, what is it happening that, you know, that's not as effective maybe as I thought. And one of the answers might be that probably as we discuss as parents, they don't relate to us as much as we would like, or as much as we would like them to relate to. And we know, of course, there is an age factor. We are a little bit older, they are a little bit younger. So that age factor creates a little bit of a barrier. There is a maturity level as well. There are different interests that children have. Now, there are different backgrounds or different societies that we grew up in, and we see how quickly things change nowadays. And truly, you know, they live in a different society that we grew up. So all of this, we can see how could create a barrier between generations as well. And I think we can take these lessons and apply them to ourselves as we grow in Christ, as we deal with each other, as we learn from each other as brethren, and as we try to help others maybe that are on the narrow way at the beginning of their walk, or maybe as we try to help others that maybe are on their way for a long time, but they might go through certain experiences. Try to think of those barriers. Now, most of you heard this statement about teachers, or that it says that the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, and the great teacher inspires. I find it very important because it is good to tell, and we like to do that. It's good to explain why we do certain things, and then it's more important to demonstrate, to actually show how we live, not only in our words, but the most important is to inspire somebody to do it on their own, to be something, to make it their own. So again, I bring this as an example that most of us, we can relate to. So the more we look into this subject to try to have something that we can relate to. So we'll look at a few questions. Who do we follow? Who do we want to be like? What is our ultimate goal? Who do we try to please? And what kind of examples are we? Now, we don't necessarily expect answers to all these questions, but in one way or another, we'll just want to meditate a little bit more about this. And then not only that, but we'll see some steps that our Heavenly Father provided for us as we develop and as we get closer to Him. Now, as we answer that we follow the Lord, and that's true, our ultimate goal is to be like God, like our Heavenly Father. And if we would have a pyramid, this would be the cornerstone of the pyramid. Our Heavenly Father created us, and He does know how we think. He does know that what we need in order to grow, to develop, to live. And He knows that we need to have a vision. We need to have a purpose to attain to something. And we read that in 1 Peter 1:14-15. As obedient children, do not be shaped by the desires that used to influence you when you were ignorant. Instead, be holy in every aspect of your life, just as the one who called you is holy, for it's written, you must be holy because I am holy. So He clearly tells us to be like Him, to follow Him with our free will that we have, but to attain that perfection that He has. And that comes back, of course, it's a quote. We can simply see it from Peter reading. It's a quote that goes back to Leviticus 11:44, where He tells the nation of Israel, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, this standard to be like God, or to attain holiness or perfection, it was not only for the nation of Israel, it is for the new creation, and it will be for the world in the kingdom as well. Of course, we know there are certain differences in the way of the life of sacrifice, but to attain the perfection, and that will be, and it is a goal for everyone. Now, Jesus comes and He tells us, be perfect therefore as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And He almost brings that back and tells us that that is the ultimate goal for each one of you. I don't know about you, but I think some of us might have a little bit of a harder time with this statement, in the sense that we aren't like God, we aren't like Heavenly Father. And sometimes we might be thinking, why can't I just be that perfect? Why can't I be like our Heavenly Father? And one of the issues that we might be having is that sometimes it's hard to relate to God. And God tells us to be like Him, but we know that between us and Him, there are different natures. He has a divine nature, we have a human nature. He is perfect, we are sinful. He has intuition, we don't. He is the creator, and we are His creatures. Apostle Paul said that He is the potter, we are the clay. We can see Him, He can see us, but we can't see Him with our natural eyes. We can only see Him through the eyes of faith, in the measure that we develop that faith. So that's why sometimes in our experiences, it might be harder to find sufficient help from the scriptures, or the scriptures might be a little bit harder to apply to our experiences, because we have to bypass all of this and try to envision and to be closer to our Heavenly Father through all of this. And we know that we have to be like Him, and we can't all the time. And it might be harder to perceive something that's spiritual. We remember about Job when he was going through certain experiences. At the beginning, he worshiped our God. He was closer. He was doing what he was right. But in his experiences, he could not perceive certain things. He was saying, if I look to the left, He's not there. If I look to the right, ahead, behind, I cannot see God. Until later, he said a very beautiful statement, something along the lines that I've heard of thee, but now my eyes can see you. And I think when ultimately we go through certain experiences, we can see Him. But sometimes these barriers might create a little bit of challenges for us. And even in spite of this, Apostle John says that I have written to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known the one who has existed from the beginning. And what a blessing it is that truly through the Holy Spirit, we get to know more about our Heavenly Father, things that a human man cannot see or the ear cannot hear or perceive them. And ultimately, if we will be faithful, not only that you have known or know about the Father, know him through a different relationship, but if we'll be faithful, we'll see him as well. Now, but our Heavenly Father knew very well, as I said, that this might be a little bit harder for us to relate to him and his principles. So he did something for us, something to help us to get closer to him and to get him to know through certain channels. And he sent his son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who left the heavenly glory and became human like us. So now we have a representation of our Heavenly Father, but we have it in the same nature that we are. So sometimes, and something we can see with our natural eyes, something that we can relate to a little more. And we read that in Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And also in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As we mentioned, now we have God's representation here upon the earth. And to a certain degree, this makes it easier for us to relate to those principles, high principles that our Heavenly Father has them for us. We have an example of somebody who lived like us, walked like us, ate like us, and how he applied the principles of righteousness in the same form as we are. Of course, his work was to do the Heavenly Father's will and our work as well, even if we have different responsibilities, family responsibilities or jobs or others, we can have that relationship and relate to him more. Now, the same as our Heavenly Father, Jesus invites us to follow him. And he said to Peter and to the apostles, to some apostles, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said to the disciples, if any man would like to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. In John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he said to Peter later after his resurrection, when he was talking about John, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. And we can see what a privilege, what a blessing it is to be called by the Son of God to follow him. And truly, how would you not, just thinking about the apostles, how would you not leave everything and just follow such a man? And because the way how he was spoke, the way how he behaved, everybody noticed that he is different. And in the same, on the same line, brethren, we did the same. We have experienced something in this life that didn't satisfy us, and we had the same decision to follow something more, something better, something that can give us a true peace. Now, how does Jesus have this authority to tell the people to follow him when clearly our Heavenly Father tells us to be like him or to follow him? And we know that Jesus tells us that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And I and the Father are one. So he is the representation of our Heavenly Father's character, love, unity, purpose. As we know, they are all in one, in purpose and in all of this. And God's desire is that we would be one like them as well. And we see that in Jesus' prayer, where Jesus said that to all of them, that all of them may be one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you. Can we imagine the desire and the intimate prayer that we might be one with them as well? Now, after Jesus finished his earthly course, he ascended to heaven, and the New Testament abounds in scriptures and verses to follow him. And of course, the Old Testament pointed to the Lamb of God, and now the New Testament and the writings tell us to, invites us and encourages us to follow Jesus. And Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1:10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intently and with the greatest care. And now, since the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and since he's the representation of the Father, the admonition is to follow him, because in following him, we will be, and we will be like our Heavenly Father. As we said, he gave us an example how we can live on this world, but not to be part of this world. And Apostle Peter tells us again in 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And brethren, this is a very precious scripture, because the main statement that we make, that we follow in his footsteps, this is the background, this is the scripture that directly tells us to follow in his footsteps. And as we mentioned, can we just stop and think what a privilege and what a blessing it is to have an example that we can follow, to have somebody who walked before us, somebody who went ahead of us, and somebody who opened the way, and not only that, but somebody who is helping us as well. As we know, without him, we are lost. And actually, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Besides the ransom price that he left, he is also the high priest for us as well. And in Hebrews 12:2, Apostle Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it is set at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Brother Russell has a very simple but profound quote. If we follow in the exact footsteps of another, we will always arrive at the same destination. Now, very simple, but how important it is that we know that Jesus did arrive and he's at the right throne of God. And if we follow in his footsteps, we will arrive there as well. In Reprint 1007, he says, we must continuously lose our mental and moral likeness to the world and be moral to be more and more conformed to the image of our Lord. And in Reprint 3237, he is to walk, this is an admonition for all of us, he is to walk as our Lord walked, in his general deportment and relationship to everything that is good, and correspondingly to avoid everything that is evil. He is to walk as nearly as possible in the footsteps of Jesus. This, however, does not mean that he either should or could, in an imperfect body, walk up to all the perfection of his Lord, who even in his flesh was perfect. It means just what it says, that we should walk as he walked, in the same way, in the same direction, toward the same mark and standard, and he recognized and established, and how beautiful it is that we might fail sometimes walking in his footsteps, but the thought is to walk in the same direction. Very beautiful. Now, we did have quite a few chances to spend with our young people at the camps and this summer and general. And we had, I personally had a few conversations with some young adults trying to take a decision, what job to take or which direction to go in life. And I always like, for me, they really helped me a lot. And this is what I tell others as well, that if you want to be something, it's good to know somebody who has the same job or the same vision that you want to do. By talking with somebody, always will help you to know, to get advice. It will help you to know what you will go through. It's not like you have to start from the beginning and being alone. And I think we're very privileged to have so many brethren that have, even in a literal way, there are so many variety of jobs that brethren do. And I think it's easy to talk with different brethren and get help. But in the same time, not only on at this level, but also at the spiritual level, we have brethren of different serving the Lord in many different ways. And what a blessing it is to learn and to see how to achieve something by learning from somebody else. And this gets down to the same example, that the same way Jesus did for us. He walked ahead of us and left an example how we can walk like him. So, but in spite of that, it is, as we know, it is not as easy as we might think. For some, especially for those at the beginning of their walk with the Lord, it might be challenging to follow our Lord's example. And why is that? And that we know that our Lord was perfect and we are imperfect. He was the perfect creation of God. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now, we know that he started his walk on plane N on the chart. We start our walk on plane R, or at least maybe a little bit above plane R, or depends how we, our circumstances. Jesus had a pre-human existence. We did not have that pre-human existence. He had the spirit without measure. Our spirit is with measure. Means that in the as much as we empty ourselves, this much we can receive or we can fill in with the Holy Spirit. He was the direct creation of God. He lived in a simple world a while ago. Now we live in a different world. And for some, that might feel like might not relate to Jesus as much. So again, these are not excuses, but what I'm trying to point that for some, this might create a distance that can still be hard to associate and follow his example. And the flesh will be very faithful to point this out, these differences that you cannot do because of this. You cannot look at Jesus and look who you are. Look at all of this. And our Heavenly Father knew that this might be a challenge and made arrangements for us even more. He chose 12 apostles, not educated or any high ranks, but simple men, simple fishermen that we can relate to them. And we know that all 12, of course, all of them walked in Jesus' footsteps and were faithful to the end. Of course, Judas was replaced by Paul. But we know this from Revelation 21:14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So Jesus left them as the foundation for us, that we can build and we can learn from them as well. And we will use Apostle Paul as an example, since he wrote most of the New Testament, but I'm sure all the apostles can be examples for us as well, and they all left the same legacy. Now, taking Apostle Paul as an example, we do remember in Corinth, they had a very complicated situation there, and they were worldly behaviors, and Apostle Paul told them that the goal they need to aspire to is Jesus Christ. And He knew and emphasized that multiple times, and he told them that when I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He also tells them that to us there is one God, the Father, and then there is one Son, and through him, one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we are through him, establishing the same pattern that we talked about. But in the same time, as we mentioned previously, I imagine for them, the state with, that they were at, it was harder to relate to our Heavenly Father and relate to Jesus. So Apostle Paul goes one step further and he gives himself as an example. He says, be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. So he tells them that even if it might be hard to relate to them, follow my example, because that might make it a little bit easier for you. And you know me, I came to you, I stayed with you, I spent time with you, and you know my lifestyle, so try to follow my example, and through my example, you will follow Jesus Christ as well. Now, he also does this multiple times. To Timothy, he tells to the Corinthians, he says, he will remind you of my way of life when he sent Timothy to them. Again, reminding them of the way of life that he lived. To the Thessalonians, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Holy Word, much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And to Timothy, it says, "By you did follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience." 2 Timothy 3:10. Now, this might be an authority probably limited to the apostles or the way Apostle Paul gave himself as an example, but not probably necessarily. But I think each one of us, we should leave an example for us, to all those around us, that they should see in us that we did walk with our Heavenly Father and we did walk with Jesus. Now, what a privilege it is that we have the examples of the 12 apostles, those that were born like us, simple like us, and shaped in sin and iniquity, and they became followers of the Lamb, served our Heavenly Father in the same circumstances as we are, and being resurrected in heaven with our glorified Lord and King Jesus Christ. So that's why many of us, while reading the Gospels and reading about Apostle Peter, and we see his zeal, now we see his failings as well, we can relate a little bit more. And we can take those examples and be encouraged by. And now, this is a very famous verse that we know, where Apostle Paul said, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Now, I think we can all relate to this. And this should not be, Brother Russell says very well, we should not use this as an excuse, but just to know that this will be the case. And for us, it is not, we will not get to a point where we will not fall, but it is not how many times we fall, but how many times we rise up again. And we remember the conversation we had last Sunday from Proverbs 24:16. And as there it says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. And sometimes the fall, as it says, that's the righteous will fall. The fall might be so deep and so hurt that sometimes even the examples of the apostles might feel a little bit too distant for us. And we might not probably feel connected, because our mind again might feel like they had a special relationship with Jesus. They had a direct contact with him. And they physically walked. And do you remember when Peter in the upper room, when Jesus was telling them about his events, and Peter said, "Lord, whatever it will be, I'll always be with you. I will not deny you." And of course, that's a very natural response to anybody that is being touched by Jesus. But we see that he did fall, and in the same time he repented and came back. They also had the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the followers don't have, and they ceased as soon as the apostles died as well. So these are not to discourage us in any way. We just bring them out that sometimes the flesh might use them as excuses. Now, Apostle Paul, in writings to the Hebrews, he reminds them about a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11. Those that exactly like us had the desire to serve the creator of the universe, some of them with little or almost no deep knowledge of him, just with the promise that they heard from their parents or grandparents, and just thinking about Joseph when he was in Egypt. The only thing that he had was the promise that he received it from Jacob, from Isaac, from Abraham, that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And of course, the example of his father, grandfather, and so on. And that did enable him to have that trust. But with that little that he had, what a faith and what an example he left for us. Now, we will not read this, but we do have these examples, how much they have done through faith, how much they achieved. They were tortured, they suffered, they were killed by the sword, and they suffered so much. And at the end, we read that these were all commended to their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And Apostle Paul tells them to the Hebrews and tells us as well to look at these examples, that if they would have lived today, they would have been as faithful as they were back then as well. And that's what here tells us in Hebrews 12:1, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. And besides them, we have the examples of our brethren as well. Now, this is a picture from I think 2017 or 18, we might need to take an updated one, but what a privilege it is to have the brethren and to have each other. And Apostle Paul tells the Hebrews to remember the leaders. And these are some pictures from the press. Remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, this might be directly to leaders. However, I think Apostle Paul, what he means is that remember those that helped you earlier in your Christian life. Remember those that helped you. And I think as we think, each one of us had somebody that helped us in one way or another. It might be a brother, a sister, probably parents, grandparents, or somebody. And somebody that inspired, encouraged us, motivated us, and helped us to become who we are and help us to be where we are right now. And that's what Apostle Paul said, that they did leave a footprint and a memory in our lives. And he says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. He says, don't look at their beginnings, because you might be a little bit discouraged. They had failings as well, but look at the outcome of their life. Look what they left behind. Look at the legacy they left and imitate their faith. Apostle Paul said to Timothy, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So he says to look or to know them which labor. And that word know means to consider, to be aware, and to look at them. And I think gives us the same thought as well. Now, Apostle Paul encouraged young Timothy and Titus to give themselves as examples. And he tells them, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And why did he need to be an example? To help others, as we mentioned, through his example to help others as well. And Jesus says that in Matthew 5:16, I don't have it there, but he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So for us to look at us so we can be channels that others to see the Heavenly Father through us. Also to Titus says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Basically, give yourself as an example. And we are blessed to be surrounded by so many examples. Examples that if it would be hard to relate to our Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ or the apostles or others, we can relate and we can learn from our brethren. And as we know, outwardly, they might have mistakes and they had weaknesses, but inwardly, the brethren, those that went before us, they treasured the new creature, a wonderful character, an interior beauty that probably rebuked us many times, not through words, but through their actions. And this is the power of example that can be left behind, to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. How would he live his life if he would be here as well? Now, brethren, in conclusion, our main goal is, and the top goal is to be like God, like our Heavenly Father. Our eyes should be set on top of the pyramid, as we mentioned before. But we have seen how our Heavenly Father gave us examples and different ways that we can learn about his righteous principles through his Son, Jesus, apostles through the Old Testament, examples, and many brethren. And did you notice that the more we move down the pyramid, the more we could relate to those examples as well, the more we could probably understand some of them and learn, and the more spiritually we grow, the more we'll rise on the pyramid as well. But in the same time, the more we go down the pyramid, the more might be a little bit more challenging, because we might see some mistakes and we have to interpret and we have to understand them. So that's why it's always important to look on top and to look up. We remember that even Jesus, who is the image of God, the Pharisees and others stumbled upon him. They found certain reasons, certain things, why he would not be the Son of God and why he's not an example and so on. So that's why it's important, of course, not to stumble in this, but to see our Heavenly Father through the examples of those mentioned here. Now, many of you have seen the, I think it's called the super moon or the blue moon or something, about a month ago it was. And from what I heard, it wasn't in a long time, and we won't see it very soon either. But as we were looking, we actually went outside with our children, we're looking at it. And my first thought was, because it was so bright, you actually had to adjust your eyes before you could actually see the details of it. And my first thought was, it's like, how powerful is the light of the sun that shines upon the moon? And of course, the moon only reflects the sun, that light. And we can look through that. And this is what we need to learn from these examples. The light that shines from our Heavenly Father, from God, through all these examples, so we can be able to look at that beautiful light through that. In 1 Corinthians 3:21-23, Apostle Paul said, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come are all yours. And you are all Christ and Christ is God's. How beautiful he builds this pyramid for us as well. Found that very encouraging. Now, we have a beautiful reprint. And we still have a few minutes, we can read it. All of the Lord's servants should call attention to the Lord and not to themselves. Let us each bend our energy to pointing men to the Lamb of God and not to self-seeking. Modesty is a gem wherever found, one of the graces of the Spirit, which all of the Lord's consecrated ones should seek to have largely developed and well polished. And let us remember that following Jesus in the best sense means that we walk in his path, strive to do as nearly as we are able what he would do today, taking our lessons from what he did and said personally, and from the instructions which he has left for us. Through the apostles, respecting the path of fellowship in his suffering, the path to glory and joinership in the kingdom. So the examples we have in the Bible and the ones that we mentioned, at least for me and I'm sure for all of you, cover all the possibilities for us. God gave us everything that we need to be able to know him and to know more about him and to know what is right and what is wrong and ultimately attain eternal life. Apostle Peter says, according as his divine power has given unto you, unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And how beautiful it is that we have everything given to us that we can attain life and godliness. And when he says all, we know that it is actually all. And we can't say that there is nobody that suffered more than us, or there is probably nobody that can understand. And I think at whatever age we are, either younger ones or teenagers or young adults or young in Christ or older, we can relate to somebody. It might not be a direct example. We can take David. We are not fighting lions or bears nowadays, but we are fighting other things. But we can learn the principles from those. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants us to look at. The question for all of us is, what is our standard, our goals? Who do you follow? Who are your examples in life? And who are your friends? Apostle Paul said that bad company corrupts good character, and that sets an example for us. Where do you spend your time? Who do you spend time with? And of course, that will be the influence in your life as well. Now, God will not lower his standards. He gives us help, examples that we can relate to, and steps how to become and achieve and be like him. And we have nowadays, every time when you look at, we all here and there, we do watch YouTube or we look at certain probably videos, there is a button that says follow. What that means is, like, if you want to know more from those people that produces that video, you will get a notification or something. So we have on our Chicago website, we put all our videos, discourses, whatever we have, there is a follow button. And I think we have about 3,000 people that follow us, meaning that every time we post something, they get a notification. And I think it's good. That way you are notified about whatever you want to receive and to feed upon. And I think that's just, again, a question for ourselves. Who do you follow in many ways? What information do you want to receive to grow? Now, looking at an example, Apostle John in Revelation, when he fell at the feet of the angels after his revelation, I think all of us probably would have done the same way when we would receive so many visions. And the angel said, Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who kept the words of this scroll, worship God. So what the angel did, he lowered himself at the same level where John is. And he says, I am like you. He just brought a common thread, something in common that he has with John. I am a servant, you are a servant. And how important it is to follow those common grounds and to be able to relate to those that we deal with. So brethren, let's be good followers of God, Jesus, apostle, brethren, worthy of imitation, but in the same time, each one of us to be unique and to be examples for others. Think of you what you will be said after you finish this earthly course. And when Jesus finished faithfully on the cross, we remember that there was a centurion there, and he said that surely this was a righteous man. May it be said about ourselves as well, that surely we were, and this was a righteous man. And may the Lord bless each one of us.